So Proverbs teaches us that wisdom calls out to us, that if we're listening, we can hear wisdom speaking, and our job is to respond to what we're hearing. But really the task is being able to hear in the first place. We talked about last week the responsibility we have to look for wisdom, to recognize there's a difference between being wise and being foolish. There's also a difference between good and bad or good and not good. And sometimes wisdom really doesn't have anything to do with good and evil. It just has to do with who we are and the choices that we're making. But hearing wisdom is so important. Today, Pastor Mike Luster is going to speak to us about the responsibility we have to hear wisdom. And how do we go about hearing wisdom? And what are the things that we need to do in our lives that may be keeping us from hearing wisdom? Because ultimately, again, wisdom requires work and it requires effort. And because it requires that, we have to listen to it so we can apply it in our lives. Again, I'm excited about Pastor Mike Luster coming and speaking to you today and look forward to your thoughts with wisdom.
Well, how are you today? You doing all right? Good. You ready for this? Some of you are. Good. That's good. We'll lean on you. The others, you'll get there, okay? Since I have the mic, I always like to kind of say what's going on in the student ministry, and you really can't do anything about it because I have the mic. But I want to kind of tell you some of our summer stuff that's been going on. We had Super Summer, and so Super Summer is an interesting camp because it's a little different type of camp. It's a leadership camp. It's a camp for those that are following Christ and want to go further in their walk, and it's one that really they have to go through some proper steps. They have to do an application. They have to go through an interview. This year was an interview of a four-person panel, right? And then really, to be honest, we kind of watched them all year long. We watched them and see how they are living their lives out with Christ and how good of a follower they are and what are they doing. And so it's really a camp that they have the opportunity to go to that they've kind of got to earn a little bit. And so it's a little different. This year we took 24 students, which is fantastic, that we got to take 24 students down there. And God did speak. God moved. It was a great time of worship, great time of learning. And I'm praying, and you can pray with me, that as these students continue to figure out who they are in Christ, they'll continue to lead. God will give them vision of what we need to do, what's next, what do they need to do. And so I'm just excited for the year and what's going to happen in their lives and what God's going to do for them. So it was a great week. And then last week we got to do our missions week. And mission week was a little different this year because we stayed local. Usually we go out, and we've been to Texas the last few years, but the Lord just kind of had a different plan this year, so we did something different. And so we did a local mission trip. And so on Monday and Thursday, we cooked hot dogs and spaghetti, and we took it down to the shelter here in Norman, and we were able to feed 75 people. And we got to be a part of that this week, which was awesome to do that. We got to go over to Bridges on Monday, which is over by Norman North. If you don't know about Bridges, you should. Bridges is where homeless teens get an opportunity to get a house. They live in an apartment, in a one-bedroom apartment. And these teens are not of their own fault. They have not done anything to deserve this moment to be homeless. It's just a product of what the parents have done and the system and what's been going on. But Bridges is that opportunity for them to finish high school, get their education, and hopefully do a little more. And so it is a great organization. If you hadn't heard about it, you should go check it out. And so we got to go help them. I don't think they were ready for all of us, but we came and we organized some stuff for them. We cleaned up some things for them, but we also got to hear their stories. And some of the students even recognized some students. And I know that kind of opened their minds and their hearts, and I'm hoping that they kind of take that home and maybe some families decide to get involved and things like that. It's a great organization. And then we got to, on Tuesday, we got to go up to downtown and up to downtown, right? Because it's up there. We went up to downtown, and we got to go to the Salvation Army, to the shelter they have there, and we helped in their food pantry, and we did a lot of work. We organized a lot of cans and bagged a lot of things, but we helped their kind of food pantry. And then we also got to go around to their different pods to kind of see how the shelter works, and we got to see the family pod, we got to see the women's pod, we got to see the men's pod, and kind of see all that and learn more about that. So that was a great experience to go up and kind of see and also get to help. And then the next day, we made sandwiches. Are you okay with sandwiches? That's how I say it, sandwiches, okay? And so, is that good? Is that right, Aunt? Is that good? Okay, sandwiches. And so we made sandwiches, we got water, bottled water, we got some chips and some cookies. And then what the students did was they'd take a paper sack and they would put a verse on it or an encouragement note or something on there. And then we packed it up. And then we went right back downtown and handed it out to the homeless there. And so they were under the bridges. They were just lined up down the street in the creek beds with tents and tarps and things like that. And I'm so proud of our students because I don't know that I would have done it. But I didn't give them a choice, so they just did it, right? And so they went out and handed those sandwiches out, those lunches and the bottled water, and they were so appreciative, and it was so cool to see our students get out and be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? And love on people that just aren't loved on very often. And so they got to experience that. And then we also got to go out here to our playground, and we put out a bunch of wood chips, like a mountain of wood chips, wasn't it? And so they worked hard. They got it done. They did a great job. And so we were able to work here at the church. We did some stuff at the Student Center too. And so it was a great week that we had on our local missions trip. It was so cool to be a part of. And we had well over 40 students. I was thinking that we'd have like 25, and we had like over 40 students every time. It was great. And so a lot of kids wanted to go serve, wanted to work, and do something like that. So I thought that was neat. And then like I had just on that announcement, False Creek is coming up, and we really do need your prayers. You know, since I've been here just a little over 6 years, almost seven. We have baptized over 90 students. We have 90 teens is how many we baptized. You can clap. It's okay. Somebody wanted to over here. There you go. And so a lot of that is due to False Creek. There's something about when you go to camp and you unplug from all the devices, and then you're able to spend time with God the whole day, all week long. It's amazing that God speaks to you, right? And so when you do all of that, and so the Lord just speaks, and we've seen lots of students get saved. We've been able to baptize a lot of students. We've seen a lot of kids begin to own their faith. And so False Creek is a big deal. So please pray with us. Please be thinking about, because there's kids right now that are on the fence, or maybe there's some obstacles in the way of why they can't go. And so I hope that you would pray with me that those obstacles would fall down, that they'd get out of the way so these kids can go to camp and these kids can have an experience with God. And hopefully God can do something in their lives. So if you'll pray with me with that, I would appreciate it, church. Because we want to take a big old group down there. Not because we want to go, look at us, we took a big group. We want to take a big old group because we want a lot of people to have an encounter with Jesus, right? And so that's what we want. And so I hope that you'll be praying for us with that. So let's pray, and we'll get into this. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to be together as friends, as family here at church. And God, we come today as we get into this message, God, we pray that you would speak to us. We're so thankful for your Bible. We're so thankful for your word, how it continues to just teach us and guide us and challenge us. And we're so thankful for it. We're so thankful for your Holy Spirit that touches each of our heart, that continues to speak to us, continues to show us and guide us and counsel us. I'm so thankful for that, God. We just want to hear from you today. We expect to hear from you today. We want to hear from you today. And so, God, I just pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. I don't have the words to say. I never do. But you do, God, and I ask that you would speak those through me, and that Holy Spirit, that you would take these words and you would just challenge each heart, that you would just push each heart into whatever needs to happen in their lives, whatever decision they need to make. We're not going to talk about easy stuff today, God, and so if there's something that we need to get right today, God, I pray that we get it right today. God, if there's someone here that doesn't know you, God, I pray that today is the day of salvation. And so, God, I just pray that you move, and we trust you with that. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this opportunity. We love you, and we praise you. It's in your precious name. We all said amen. Amen. Well, let's start out with a mic. In the student ministry, every now and then, we'll have a mic story, right? A little mic story. It's always, is it a good story? Some of you, yeah, okay, all right. Some of you, yeah, I love these stories. And so we have a little mic story. Usually that mic story involves Kyle. That's the guy that we went down to the church of Texas and helped them out because he was my best friend growing up. And so usually my story involves his story because we did everything together. Are you okay with a little mic story to start off? Are you good with that? Okay, all right. Some of you are not so excited. That's all right. You'll like this, all right? Usually these are embarrassing for me, but that's okay. Well, growing up, we rode our bikes. We went outside, crazy, right? And so we went outside, we rode our bikes everywhere. And so especially in the summer, we went everywhere in those bikes. And so we just, to a friend's house, to go play ball, to do whatever, we were always riding our bikes, going everywhere. My mom and dad both worked. Like, they just let us, like, my kids have cell phones. I'm mad if I call them or text them and they don't, like, respond back real quick, right? All day. They had no clue. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. And so we were out doing our thing. And so one night, I spent the night at my friend Kyle's house. And as I spent the night, for some reason, my mom and dad dropped me off. I didn't ride my bike there. Usually, I rode my bike, had my backpack, went there. That's how we did it. But they dropped me off that night. And so I was at Kyle's house. And we woke up in the morning. We wanted to go do stuff. And so I didn't have my bike. But he had a scooter. And so I rode the scooter because we still wanted to go out and be, right? Is that crazy that we went outside even though, right? And so we went outside, and so I took off on the scooter, and so we were going around, riding around, and so we get to one of our favorite spots. The reason this is one of our favorite spots is there was a Y that was built. It's called the Simmons Center in Duncan, but it's basically like a Y. And what they did to kind of bring up the dirt level and all that kind of stuff to do all that, they dug a hole behind it, like kind of behind the, there's some trees and behind that, so you couldn't really see it. And so behind this, they dug this massive hole, right? And so there was this one part that was real steep right there, and then there was kind of these four different spots where a backhoe had dug out, you know? And so it was fantastic if you rode a bike, all right? It was amazing, and because they left it. And so we could get on our bikes, and we go, and you go flying up. If you're going kind of fast, then you take the first one, jump up, do your cool trick. If you're going a little faster, you'd go to the second one, do a better trick. If you were going real fast, you go to the third one, you do a really good trick. And if you were flying down that hill, right, and you really got some momentum, you could go down that fourth one, and you would do something great, right? And so that day, we go up. I'm riding the scooter, and so I get to there, and I kind of look up, and I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I got this. I could do this. But yet there was this other voice in the back kind of going, you sure? Those are little wheels. You sure you got this? Okay. And but it was like, oh, no, I could do this. My friends are there. They're like, Mike. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And so I'm thinking, you know what? This is going to be awesome. This is going to be fantastic. This could be my moment. I could become a legend, right? And so I'm going to head down this hill, and I know I'm going to be going so fast, I'm going to hit that last one. I'm going to hit that, and I'm going to go up there. And not only am I going to go up there, I'm going to slide the whole scooter around, and I'm going to catch it. I'm going to land on it, and I'm going to hit it, and I'm going to put the brakes on. I'm going to get done, and I'm going to throw the scooter down and do this, right? That's what I'm going to do. That's what's about to happen. This is about, I'm about to become a legend. And then that other voice kind of come up and was like, you sure? Those are little wheels. And it was like, I got this. And so I'm like, yeah. And so here we go. And so I look at that heel, and I go, all right. Whoosh, and I go down, and I am flying. No longer in my head is there any thought of doing any kind of turn or anything like that. Now it is pure survival, right? And so I'm going so fast. Those wheels are so little. That brake is doing nothing at all, all right? And so I don't even think the brake worked. My friend didn't tell me. He should have said something before I went down, right? And so there's nothing, and I hit that last one, and scooter goes that way. I go this way. I'm just flailing, arms everywhere. Boom, and whew, all the air goes out, right? Oh, it was awful. It was so bad. Why? Why wouldn't I listen to the other boys saying those little wheels so fast, not going to work? But I didn't. I went for it. And so today, what we're going to talk about is there's voices that are trying to lead us in different directions, right? And as we've been reading Proverbs, hopefully you've taken that challenge and been reading a proverb a day. Today is July 8th, so you should be on the 8th proverb. Good, you're doing great. And so the 8th proverb, and so every day we're reading that, and so hopefully you've been doing that. And so today we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 8, and we're also going to look a little into Proverbs chapter 7, so if you want to get there. But we're going to talk about these two voices that are in our heads. So we're going to be talking about wisdom, and we're going to talk about foolishness. I took foolishness, didn't I? Right? And so foolishness and wisdom, or folly and wisdom. And so we're going to be looking at that and kind of trying to figure out, how do we make the correct decision? How do we hear the right voice that is going to be calling out to us to make the decision and go down the path we need to be so we can become who we need to become because of these decisions? It's a big deal, and we need to understand that. The other thing you need to understand is by default, this is not going to make you happy, by default, we are fools. Do you get that? By default, we are fools. You have to work at getting wisdom. You start out foolish. Right? And we have this natural tendency, we have this sinful nature within us that moves towards sin much easier, moves towards foolishness much easier than it is to go down the right path towards God, to obey God, to do what God wants us to do. We're way more likely to go down the wrong path, to choose foolishness. That's what we do. So if you've come in here thinking, yes, I'm wise, let me put the brakes on real quick and let me help you. We're not. We got to work towards that. That's something we mostly lean towards foolishness, and we try to do things on our own, and it just doesn't work out. So today, we're going to talk about that. What are those voices? How do they tempt us? How do they talk to us so that we can hear them and begin to go down the right path? So let me read you this, Proverbs 7, verse 24 through 27, and then we'll kind of go back into 7 a little more, and I think you'll get it. All right, Proverbs chapter 7, verse 24 says this: "Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways." Her being folly, her being foolishness, okay? "Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death." That does not sound good. That does not sound like something I want to do. That does not sound like where I want to end up at, right? So don't let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths, because many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. That's not where we end up, but that is what folly, that's what foolishness, that's what sin leads us into, is this destruction, and it will take you over. It will win if you let it, and there is a reason why we listen to that voice so many times. So let's look at it a little bit and see why. Go back to chapter 7, go back to verse 6 there, and we're going to read through it and kind of talk about it, okay? It says, "At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young man, a youth who lacked judgment." So a fool, right? Just kind of like we are. Until we start gaining wisdom, right? By default, this is where we're at. Huh? That we're foolishness. So, ready? So a youth who lacked judgment. "He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house, and at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in." So here, this fool, this guy, is walking down. And listen, when is he walking down? It's dark. It's towards the night. It's by himself. It's not with anybody else, right? And so he's doing it where nobody else can see him and nobody else can be around. And he's even kind of choosing which way to go. He even knows that maybe this is the foolish way, but let me hang around here anyway, right? And so he goes over there and it's night and it's all by himself. Let me tell you this from the get-go. If you want to make a foolish decision, then do it on your own. If you want to follow that path of foolishness, then you do it on your own. If you want to go down the path of wisdom, then you need accountability. You need other people around you. You need to seek out other people who have wisdom so that they can give you some wisdom. If you try to make decisions on your own, I guarantee you, you will find yourself in folly. You will find yourself in sin. You will find yourself not where you want it to be. And so if you want to make decisions and do it on your own, it is not going to work out. It never works out that way. You have to seek out wisdom. You have to be around others. But if you decide to do it on your own, just like this guy was doing, he was trying to do it all by himself, trying to accomplish it by himself with nobody else around so nobody else can see, and everything will be all right because nobody saw it. But that's just an excuse. But that's what we do, don't we? Don't we? Constantly. We make decisions on our own, and we never seek out advice. We never ask anybody to pray for us. We never ask anybody to jump in and give me an idea, or, hey, what do you think about this? I ask my mama all the time. I need wisdom in my life. I need it. I ask her because I know I'm going to make bad decisions. And my wife will say something, and she probably appreciates that I would go ask my mama something. Because if I did it on my own, whoo, doesn't work out. I've tried that. It doesn't work out good, right? But when I seek out some advice, oh, it helps so much. But so many times we try to do things on our own. We don't want anybody else to help us. I guarantee you that's the path to foolishness. You got to have other people involved in your life. You got to be accountable. You got to have people to help you. You will go down the wrong path. And then it says, "Then came out a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. She's now in the street, now in the squares. At every corner, she lurks." Foolishness looks good. Foolishness kind of looks fun for a little while, right? In fact, it is kind of fun for a little bit. And that's a lot of times what happens, huh? We kind of look at it and it's like, oh, that's not a big deal. Yeah, that kind of looks like fun. That seems like the right way to go. Let's do that, right? Because we're by ourselves, we're making decisions on our own. And so we say, yeah, that looks good. That looks fun. That looks like something I should do. But listen, as she says there, that in the street, in the squares, and at every corner she lurks. What's the corner? Corner is deciding to change a direction, right? That's when we're going to change a direction. We're going to go one way or the other. And that's the path, that's the voice that's talking to us. Are we going to follow foolishness? Are we going to follow her? Are we going to follow wisdom? Which way are we going to go? And at every corner she lurks saying, hey, come this way. Come this direction. This is a lot of fun. You should be hanging out over here. You should be doing these things. So come on. And so every corner, every decision, every time we're in life, we wake up every day, we've got these corners we're going to where we have to decide what we're going to do. And a lot of times we find ourselves going in the foolish direction because we're good at that direction. And we begin to go that direction. Why? Because she's loud and it sounds good and it sounds fun. It's kind of sounds easy. So let's go that way. And then look what it says. It says she took hold of him and kissed him. And with a brazen face, she said, look at this. She took hold of him and kissed. Now, I don't know if this was like full on lip to lip, big old smacker, or if it was like a greeting. You know, they had greetings as kiss, kiss, right? That kind of a deal. So I'm not sure which one it was. I don't know. But I don't know that it really matters because probably for you, you know which one it is, right? If you're following foolishness, which way it goes. It might be a simple greeting of, oh, hello, oh, you're here. Oh, that's good, right? Then let's, hey, you should come on, let's go this way, right? It's that greeting that, oh, this feels nice, this is good. I feel welcomed, I feel like this is right, I feel like this is the way I should go. So yeah, it sounds good, kind of a nice greet. Some of you, right on the mouth, right? Lip to lip, big old smacker, right? That's what, sometimes that's what it says, hey, this is it. Yeah, here we go, right? And so it's that type of thought, and that's what foolishness says. It says, hey, come on, we know each other. We've been greeted, we're together, we're good to go. And then it goes on, it says, with this brazen face, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows, so I came out to meet you. I looked for you, and I have found you. Now, this is good stuff right here. This is really good. I want you to pay attention to this. Say, I have fellowship offerings at home. What'd she do that day? She went to church. She gave her offering to the Lord. She had a fellowship offering. When you give a fellowship offering, you give that offering, and if there's any leftovers of that offering, you bring that back home, and you have that day or the next to eat the rest of that food, and it is a holy thing. It is a very religious thing to do. And so she said, hey, look at this religious thing I'm doing. This is not bad. This is a good thing, right? So come on over here. Let's go this direction. Let's take part of this big feast that I have for you. And this guy is going, wow, that is a huge feast. I don't have to do anything for that. I just get to jump in and enjoy. I just get to go for it. Massive feast, religious. That sounds right. Huh. You know what we're good at? We're good at justifying things, aren't we? We're good at justifying things. We're good at kind of going, yeah, that's it. That's why I'll do that. Because of this, this, and this, I'll go this direction. And that sounds good. Yes, that sounds right for me. So I think that's what I'll do. And we do that, don't we? We love to justify things. We love to kind of figure that thing out. But ultimately, we're going to find ourselves in the wrong direction. We're going to find ourselves in the wrong path. We're going to find ourselves in sin and our life destroyed because we justify some things. And we are really good at justifying things. Husband and wife having a little bit of trouble. He won't talk to me. So I have a friend. He talks to me a lot. I'll talk to him, right? It's not a bad thing. I'm just trying to help my marriage. I'm talking to somebody. And then all of a sudden it leads to a little emotional dependency, huh? And then it becomes a little physical thing. And then it becomes a full-on affair, right? And it's just a simple little decision. At the very beginning, I'm just going to help my marriage and talk to somebody, right? Talk to this other guy about it. That's what I'm going to do, and it's going to help out, right? And we justify it so quickly, don't we, right? So quickly we justify that decision like it's okay, it's not a big deal. In fact, it's a good thing. And then it ends up going down the wrong path. Now, I'm not picking on anybody, trust me, okay? I'm just giving you some examples of what God gave me. But we do things like this sometimes, right? I think my kids, I want to teach them right. And so we're going to get them into sports, and we're going to get them into ball games, and we're going to do that stuff. And then we begin to say, you know what, we're going to get real good at it. And so if I'm going to help them be real good at it, then they're going to play on the weekends and they're going to be a part of those travel ball teams. And they're going to be a part of, once again, I'm not talking about anybody, I'm just telling you. And so travel ball teams, we're going to get a part of this thing. And we give great justification at times, huh, to miss on Sunday, miss church, don't we? And we say things like, well, you're a part of the team. You got to stick to the team. You got to stick it out and finish what you started, right? So we're teaching you a good thing. Or your friends depend on you. That team depends on you. So you're being a good teammate, and that's a good thing to learn. And so here you go. Be a good teammate, right? We have all these good justifications, but what are they missing out on? They're missing out on church, and they're being taught that maybe church is not the biggest priority. There's other priorities. Now, I'm not saying if you miss two or three or four Sundays, because I'm saying you choose continually to miss. Why? Because there's some good reasons there. Being a good teammate's a good thing. Learning how to finish, good thing. Those are good things to teach your kids. But what are you really teaching them? Is that just a justification? Or is that a path down to foolishness? Are you teaching kids something that maybe doesn't need to be taught? That's a great question. I can't answer that question for you. You got to answer that question. But sometimes we get to that, don't we? Justify. That's not a sports good thing. Teach your kids to play, all that. That's all good. But is it what's best? And we can do this time after time, right? Hey, we'll let the younger ones do it. We've done our time. We've done all that we need to do. We're good to go. And so you younger ones, figure it out. Figure out how to run the church. Figure out how to do things here and there. So y'all just go for it. I've done it, and so you go for it. That's not a good way. That's an easy path. That's not a wise decision. A wise decision is to come along with the young guy and go, hey, don't do this. Oh my gosh, I did this. Don't do this. Disciple somebody, right? Help them out. Say, hey, I know I've kind of done it, so let me help you figure it out, and you can do it even better than I ever did. But there's this path of foolishness that we take, and we give it good justification. We look at it and say, let's just justify that. It'll sound good. But a lot of times, it's the path of foolishness because of our excuses, huh? Because of our reasoning to make it sound better. We do it all the time. We are professionals at it. What are you justifying? What is it that you've been choosing that is good, but maybe not the best? Well, I don't ask my kids if they read the Bible, but yet you'll ask them every day if they did their homework. Right? Well, they'll figure out God on their own at some point. Really? Hey, back at me too. That's not the way to do it. We'll ask our kids, did you clean your room? But we won't say, hey, go to church. We won't say, hey, right? You know what I'm saying? So many times we justify things in a way, but really, it's not the path of wisdom. And so we'll go on. And he says, so I came out to meet you. I look for you, and I have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. And he says, hey, look at this. Look how good it looks. Look how much fun this is going to be. Look how nice it smells. This is where you need to be. And a lot of times, that's what happens. We go down the path of foolishness. We think, oh, it just looks right. It looks so much fun. How can this be bad, right? But it traps you. It ensnares you. And it does not take you down the right path. And so she says, come on. And then look what happens after you make a few bad decisions here, right? Foolish decision after foolish decision after foolish decision here. The fact that he's by himself, that he even walked around that corner, that he was even listening, that he even went in to have that fellowship, all those kind of things, right? And then look what happens. It says, my husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. Now he knows it's wrong, and he still makes the foolish decision. That's what happens. When you begin to make wrong decision after wrong decision after wrong decision, you go down the foolish path, the foolish path, the foolish path. All of a sudden, you find yourself in a position where you know it's wrong, and you still do it because you've gone all the way through with that. You've made that many decisions, so it makes it so much easier to make the next bad decision because I deserve it, because I need to, right? You justify whatever, but you find yourself in a position that you know it's wrong, but yet you still make that decision and go for it. And that's where we find ourselves a lot of times. We continue to make this bad decision, and ultimately we find ourselves making this decision, even it's wrong as wrong could be. It used to be so easy to see that, but now it's just not so easy to see that. And you fall into this very wrong decision, and you've done something you can't do, and you've destroyed something that you can't take back. And that's where we find ourselves with foolish decisions. Look what she says. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. We make bad decision, a foolish decision, what we think is a good decision, and we go down the wrong path, and ultimately it destroys what we didn't want to destroy. It destroys our families. It destroys our marriages. It destroys our life, our friends, all that we have, right? It destroys our witness. Why? Because we followed sin. We followed foolishness. And it'll ruin everything. And some of you, hear me, we've got to stop. We have Jesus Christ that died for us, and he will absolutely forgive you of all of those wrong decisions. When you got to that corner and you went the wrong way, he will absolutely forgive you. But at some point, you have to stop and you have to repent. You have to say, I'm so sorry. I don't want to go that direction anymore. I repent and I'm ready to follow you now. But we find ourselves in this. You will find yourself in this position. You might be in this position right now where your life is just crumbling. You feel so alone, so lost. You feel like you've got nothing to live for. What happened is foolish decision after foolish decision after foolish decision. But God will forgive you. God still loves you unbelievably. He'll forgive you and help you get on the right path. So what is that right path? How does she call out? So listen, chapter 8. Jump over to verse 32 real quick. I want you to see the end of this. Verse 32 through 36. It says, now then, my sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. That's wisdom talking, okay? Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me. Watch daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death. Listen to this. I like that way better. Blessed is the man who listens to me. For whoever finds me finds life. Yes, I want that. And receives favor from the Lord. Yes, check that box for me, right? That I could find favor from the Almighty God, that he would have favor on me, the one that knows everything, is in power of everything, controls everything, and he would have favor on me. Count me for that, right? Sign me up for that one, because I want to be a part of that. How do I be a part of that where I have favor from God, that I've been blessed by God, that I find life, that I could find that joy, that happiness, that satisfaction, that peace that passes all understanding? How can I get that, right? And it's wisdom. Wisdom's calling out and saying, this is the way. You follow wisdom. You follow wisdom and you will find life. You will find favor. Things will be good. That's what I want. So how do we hear that? So let's go back to verse 1 on chapter 8. It says, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Besides the gate leading into the city at the entrance, she cries aloud. I love this. Just like folly is crying out and saying very loudly, hey, come this direction. Look at where wisdom is at. It says every path beside the gates, at the entrances, everywhere you need to make a decision in life, wisdom is right there also crying loudly and crying out to you and the voice very loud saying, come this direction. Don't go that direction. Come this direction. Gain wisdom. Follow this path. It is so much better for you. So wisdom calls out too. So how do we hear her voice? How do we begin to follow wisdom's voice? How do we understand who that is? And it goes on to talk. It says, so she cries aloud this, verse 4. To you, O men, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, gain understanding. That's us, right? By default, we're fools, aren't we? That's where we're at. I hope you understand. It's not fun. I understand. That wasn't the best thing for you to hear this morning, but it's the truth. That's where we're at. And so she's talking to us. Wisdom's talking to us. You who are simple, gain prudence. You are foolish. Gain some understanding. Listen, for I have worthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. None of them twist the truth. None of them bend the truth. It is true. It is just. She says, to the discerning, all of them are right. They are faultless to those who have knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. It is so valuable. Wisdom is so valuable to grab. Understanding, solid understanding, wisdom. It's so important. It's so much more valuable than any material things. It's so much more valuable than anything else you can gain that's just going to be real quick and kind of pleasing to myself, right? Because that's what folly is saying, I want to do what I want to do. But wisdom's calling out and saying, oh, it's so much better. This life is so much better if you'll follow the wise path. If you follow it, it's so good. And you'll find yourself exactly where you wanted to be. And your family will look exactly like you thought it might look. then your marriage will look like you hoped it would be. You would have an effect on other people like you wanted to have an effect on. You'd be lifting others up. It would be so good if you follow the path of wisdom. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Now listen, to this is such good wisdom. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. That should describe us, right? I don't know why we don't talk about this more in our churches, church-wide. For some reason, we don't like to talk about fear anymore. I'm not sure why. I need you to understand something. We are to fear God. He is the ultimate judge, right? He's the ultimate judge. He's the one that is in control of all this. He's the one that has control of us going to hell or heaven, right? He's the one. And so it is good for me to fear God, especially in that way. Like, I need to know that I should be afraid. That's a good thing. I should be afraid of God. That's an okay thing to be. And for some reason, we don't want to talk about that. And we don't want to bring that up anymore. But listen, wisdom says the fear of the Lord is where you need to be. You need to fear God. Yes, he's full of love, but he is absolutely the judge. He's absolutely the one that is in control. He is absolutely the one that I need to worship and follow because he's got it. And so I fear him. That's a good thing to have in your life. That's a good thing to describe you, is to fear God. We have a new two-year-old in our house that we have adopted. If you haven't met Hudson, you should. He's awesome, okay? He is a go-getter. Like, he go, and that dude does not want to listen at all, ever, never. He always wants to do the other thing, every time. But we've been working on this, right? We've been working on it. He's been in the house since September, and so we've been working on it. And the one thing Daddy wants is I need him to fear me. I need him to fear me. And so we've been working on that. So every now and then, Hudson, boy, I'm going to get up, I'm going to spank you. And that happens. And it's probably a little louder and maybe even a little meaner. But you know what he does? Ooh, you know that kind of, whoa, hey. There's a little backup in there. Let's make a little space here. Did I hear the chair move? Like, he knows what the chair sounds like when I get up at it, right? There's a little fear there, and that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Why? Because I'm trying to help the guy, because the guy's on top of the couch, and he's about to dive bomb and hurt himself, right? Hudson, get down. I'm going to get up. Okay, and so, right? And so I have to get up, because I want to help him. He needs to fear me so I can help him out. That is a healthy thing. That is a good thing to have in our life, and that's what we need from God. We need a healthy fear of God. That is a wise path to fear God, to know that he is judge and that he is worthy to follow, and we better follow him, right? Because he knows what's best. And so that needs to happen in our lives. We need to have that fear. And it says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And so this fear of God is going to hate evil, because we don't want to disobey God. We don't want to do the evil things. We want to follow him because we don't want to get in trouble, right? And so that's okay to have. And so we fear that evil. And it says, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Does that describe you at all? Does pride describe you? Does arrogance, evil behavior, perverse speech, does that describe you? Is that what comes out of your mouth? Is that how you live your life? Because wisdom says, I hate it. By the way, if anybody ever says you're not supposed to hate, you hate what's evil. All right? Hate what is evil. Hate sin. That's the kind of passion you should have behind that, right? Hate it. And so he says, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. The exact opposite of what this guy was doing in chapter 7, right? He was all alone, trying to make decisions all by himself. And what does wisdom say? Wisdom says, get counsel, get sound judgment, seek out somebody else before you make a decision. Seek out somebody else to be accountable to. Have people around you that are wiser than you. I told you that I call my mama because my mama knows a lot more and she helps me out. And so I find people that know what they're doing. I try not to make a decision on my own because I know I'll choose the wrong path. I know I've got the tendency to go in that direction. So I need to find somebody that knows more. And I need people that know more to help me out. And so we need to seek that out. We need to find that. You need to have that in your life. You've got to have accountability. You've got to have counsel. You've got to have somebody wiser than you in your life. If you're the smartest, wisest person in your life, you're doing it wrong. You got to find somebody wiser that knows more so that you can find that help and that direction that needs to happen. And so we need to have that. We need that in our life. because it's only going to help us. It says, by me kings reign and rulers make laws that are just. By me princes govern and all nobles who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. You follow wisdom, and you'll find your life right where you need it, right where you want it. You'll have all that you ever wanted. Now, you might have thought you needed some other things, but I promise you'll have all that you ever wanted. You will have the joy that you've been looking for. You'll have that peace that you so desired, right? You'll have the family, the marriage. You'll be the person you need to be. You'll have an effect on this world. You'll make a difference for Christ if you follow wisdom. Isn't that where you want to be? Isn't that who you want to be? I know you do. I know in here that's what you want. You don't want to follow in folly. You want to follow the wise path, but we have to begin listening for wisdom. And that's why we've been reading a prop a day. That's why we've been reading this every day, so that we can begin to understand what is it that God wants for me. The wisdom is right here. This Bible is all about it. If you don't ever open it, you are not going to get wisdom. You got to read it. You got to get people around it that read it. You got to get people around you that follow it so that you can be where you need to be and be who you need to be. What time is it? Okay. I'm gonna go through this last part. Verse 22 through 32 is, through 31, 22 through 31. It's this thought of that wisdom was there during creation. As God created everything, wisdom was right there, watching everything, clapping, enjoying it, and being a part of it. Wisdom was there during creation, which to me sounds a lot like Jesus. And so when I kind of read that, a lot of that kind of reminds me, because when I read John 1, it says, in the beginning, the Word was God, right? You remember that part? The Word was with God, Word was with God, right? All that, you remember that? In the beginning, that's Jesus. The Word is talking about Jesus. And so when I look at that, I think, man, that's true. Jesus is the one. Jesus is wisdom. That's correct. He lived on this earth sinless. He never followed the path of folly. He is the one to follow. He's the one that personifies wisdom. He is wisdom. He's the one we follow to be able to be who we want to be. It's Jesus. And so I was thinking about that, and so I went to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to end right here, okay? Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says this. Now listen to this. You can hear it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, so he's been preaching this unbelievable sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. He's been getting after it. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew, and it beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. A wise man built his house on that wisdom, on Jesus. And listen to me, the storms are going to come. It doesn't matter if you're following the good or the bad, or you're making a good decision or a bad decision, wisdom or folly, the storms will come. But when the storms come and you're living on Jesus and you're following him and following wisdom, then it'll come, but you're not going anywhere. In fact, you can say, bring it on so others can see. But look at what happens after that. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So, church, where are you at this week? Where are you at today? Building your house on the rock or on the sand? Are you going the foolish way or the wise way? Are you justifying these little things that sound good, but it's not the best? But no matter which way, Jesus is always there for you. Even if you do go down the wrong path, and you might find yourself right now, you are not in the situation you want to be in. You are not in the place that you want to be in right now. Listen to me. Jesus is ready to help you. Maybe you don't know Jesus at all. When I talk about fear of God, and I talk about building your house on the rock, that you haven't built your life on Jesus at all. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if that's you today, that today could be the day you get saved. I'm going to be right up here. You can come find me. There's a bunch of Christians in here, I'm pretty sure. And you can ask any of them and say, hey, Jesus is talking. I've never been saved. I've never asked Jesus in my heart. My life is destroyed right now. I need him. And if that is, ask one of them. There'll be prayer partners up here. However you need to do it, you ask somebody and you get saved. If they don't do very good at it, you come find me later and I'll help, okay? All right? But if you need to get saved today, then let's do that. Follow him. That's the first step. Follow who is wisdom, which is Jesus. But maybe today you find yourself in a position of folly. You've taken some foolish ways. You've justified some things. Maybe today is the day you need to repent. You need to get some things right with God. And maybe you just need to sit in that seat, that pew right there, and you need to tell God, I'm so sorry. This is what I've been doing, and I am so sorry. I want to change. So you stand with me, and we'll enter this invitation. You respond in however way you need to. Father, we bow before you, God. We love you, and we thank you for an opportunity to be able to hear a challenge from you, but God, also to respond. And so, God, if there is anyone here that needs to respond to you, God, I pray that that would happen right now. God, I pray that you would move in their life and you would show them what they need to do and they would respond. So, God, we give you these moments in your precious name. Amen. You move. You respond in the way you need to.